This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Taraweeh prep, guys, huh? Let me read some Quran. I'm very tired, exhausted. Inshallah, the Quran will.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو الرحيم الغفور. وقال الذين كفروا لا تأتين الساعة قل بلي وربي لتأتينكم علام الغيب لا يعزب عنه مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر إلا في كتاب ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر إلا في كتاب مبين ليجزي الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم والذين سعوا في آياتنا معاجزين أولئك لهم عذاب من رجز أليم ويرى الذين أوتوا العلم الذي أنزل إليك من ربك هو الحق ويهدي إلى صراط العزيز الحميد وقال الذين كفروا هل ندلكم على رجل ينبئكم إذا مزقتم كل ممزق إنكم لفي خلق جديد أفتري على الله كذبا أم به جنة بل الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة في العذاب والضلال البعيد أفلم يروا إلى ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم من السماء والأرض إن يشأ يخسف بهم الأرض أو يسقط عليهم كسفا من السماء إن في ذلك لآية لكل عبد منيب ولقد آتينا داود منا فضلا يا جبال أوبي معه والطير وألنا له الحديد أن اعمل سابغات وقدر في السرد واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون بصير ولسليمان الريح غدوها شهر ورواحها شهر وأسلنا له عين القطر ومن الجن من يعمل بين يديه بإذن ربه ومن يزغ منهم عن أمرنا نذقه من عذاب السعير يعملون له ما يشاء من محاريب وتماثيل وجفان كالجواب وقدور الراسيات اعملوا آل داود شكرا وقليل من عبادي الشكور فلما قضينا عليه الموت ما دلهم على موته إلا دابة الأرض تأكل من ساته فلما خر تبينت الجن أن لو كانوا يعلمون الغيب ما لبثوا في العذاب المهين لقد كان لسبأ في مسكنهم آية جنتان عن يمين وشمال كلوا من رزق ربكم واشكروا له بلدة طيبة ورب غفور فأعرضوا فأرسلنا عليهم سيل العرم وبدلناهم بجنتيهم جنتين ذواتي أكل خمط وأثل وشيء من سدر قليل ذلك جزيناهم بما كفروا وهل نجازي إلا الكفور
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. A couple of points, my brothers and my sisters, that I would like to start with, inshallah ta'ala, at the beginning of this lecture. My brothers and my sisters, first and foremost, I just want to thank every single one of you guys for attending this program. You guys only attended because you wanted to better your understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. You guys could have been doing 101 things tonight, but you guys decided to come here to better your understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you guys for that. The second thing that I want to say, my brothers and my sisters, especially to my sisters who normally come to the masjid, you may see a sister turning up and she's not dressed the way that you may be accustomed to seeing at a masjid or at a gathering or at a seminar that you would normally attend. Walillahi alhamdu wal minna. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. In a lot of the programs that I've been delivering across the country, especially in the last couple of months, we've been having drug dealers, we've been having sisters who don't wear hijab, right, attending these programs. Some may well be wearing their hijab for the first time. It may well be that the hijab is worn in a way that might not necessarily be in line with Islamic rules and regulations. And then here you are looking down at her, staring at her in a very, very demeaning way. This may well be the reason why you push that sister away from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise to my brothers who may see a brother wearing something that might not necessarily be in line with Islamic guidelines, for you to start looking down at him, my brothers and my sisters, you are gravely mistaken. Don't be the reason why you end up pushing somebody out of the masjid or being the cause why he never comes back to the masjid again, right? First impressions go a very, very long way. If his first instance in a masjid was that he was pushed away, what do you expect from him tomorrow, guys? What do you want him to say tomorrow, right? When someone encourages him now to come back into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recently a brother told me that there was this individual who used to come to the masjid when he was young, and he was booted out because he was making some noise, right? This brother decided never to come back to this masjid. He started clubbing. When he went to the bar to buy his drink, he bought whatever he wanted to drink that night, alcohol, whatever else it might be. He bought it. As he was walking to his table, he dropped it. The bartender came running to him and said, no problem, don't worry. He took the glass, cleaned it up, then just gave him another drink for free. The brother later on said, look how they treated me inside of the club. And look how they treated me in the masjid. Does that make sense? I want, and this is inshallah ta'ala, if you want to call it a project, you can call it that. I want the masajid to be so catering and so inclusive. I think that word's a little bit weird now, eh? Inclusive. Tomorrow we're going to have a lot of colorful things to conclude. The masajid are so welcoming, right? That a drug dealer feels comfortable to come and just sit here and spend the night inside the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who just walked out of the club can feel comfortable to sit here without being judged. A sister, right, who wasn't wearing the hijab can feel comfortable walking into the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. And she can sit there secluding herself with Allah Jalla fi ula. Right? Not that I'm saying before my words get misconstrued, that it reaches a point where, you know, no, I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, slowly they are taught and eventually, inshallah ta'ala, they learn about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires of them. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And the last point before I start the lecture, guys. Honestly, guys, I've become very tired of giving lectures. Very, very tired. I really hope you guys got your pens and your papers. You guys seen on the, on my schedule, huh? Not the masjid poster. On my schedule, it said on there, rulings pertaining to the month of Ramadan / fasting. We want to walk away with some ahkam. I just literally delivered a lecture right now. If you want to call it like one of those lectures, iman boosters, whatever you have you. However, as I say all the time, brothers and sisters, these lectures that we attend, these Instagram reels, the TikTok tigers, these little clips that you see going around, it gives you a bit of a buzz. Agreed? See a little clip, oh, that touched me. That was amazing. That reminder was very thought-provoking, right? And then we're waiting for the next Instagram reel to be sent out. My brothers and my sisters, as I always say, right, these lectures are no different to paracetamol. You guys know paracetamol? Painkillers? If you're suffering from underlying issues and you start having Panadol or paracetamol, are these tablets going to deal with the underlying issues? A little bit like what the NHS done to me. For 5 years they were giving me tablets when I had, in fact, some very serious underlying issues. That's why you don't trust the NHS, guys. Huh? Go get an MRI scan. Not scam, scan. Huh? Get a scan, it might actually, you know, show you some of the serious problems that you actually have. I think we need to cut that out, akhi, before I get in trouble with the government. Shahid min al-kalam, these lectures, my brothers and my sisters, what it does is it boosts your iman, right? It gets you by for a couple of days and then it comes crashing down again. Are you brothers and sisters with me? It comes crashing down again. How do you keep your faith afloat? By learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learning how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly. This is when the books come in. And it may not necessarily be as exciting as a lecture. However, this is what you need to be in a better place spiritually. A common question that people tend to ask is, I'm attending lectures, I'm going from one place to another. However, I still feel like when the sin pops up in front of me, I just go rushing into it head first. Why is it that that's happening? Right? I'll tell you guys, my brothers and my sisters, our taqwa levels are not high enough. You know, our taqwa levels are not high enough. And in the month of Ramadan, my brothers and my sisters, the more we learn how to carry out the fasting, the better position that we're going to be in, and the more we will be able to acquire this objective that was mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pertaining to fasting. What was the objective of fasting that was mentioned to us in the Quran? What is it that we're trying to acquire from fasting, my brothers and my sisters, in this month? Who can tell me? Huh? Taqwa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama
كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Oh, you believe.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers, my sisters, is calling you out. You should take this personally.
Are you a believer? Are you someone of faith? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, whenever you find Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in the Quran, you should take this personally. Right? You're a person who believes, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly speaking to you. Right? A lot of time what happens, we hear a sermon, we hear a lecture, straight away the shaitan tells us, oh, the khatib, the lecturer, the sheikh is speaking about, oh, so-and-so. He's not speaking about me, he's speaking about so-and-so. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, فَأَرْعِهَا سَمْعَكْ, make sure you lend your ear. Something extremely, extremely important you're about to hear. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ, that which has been prescribed and made obligatory upon you is a siyam. What does a siyam mean, my brothers and my sisters? Can anyone tell me? In the Sharia, when we study, my brothers and my sisters, there are linguistic meanings, there are also technical meanings. What is the linguistic meaning of Sawm? Al-imsak, ahsant. It means to withhold. It means to withhold. Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam was approached by who? To give her the news that she was going to give birth to Prophet Jesus, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Who approached her? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. He approached her. And just as a side benefit, I hope inshallah ta'ala both brothers and sisters can benefit from this, right? It is all interlinked. Especially today with the gadgets and the social media apps that we have. She was approached by Jibreel, فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا, in the form of a man. Angel Jibreel approached her in the form of a man. What was the response of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam? Come sit down. There is a palm tree right here. Can I get you some dates? Huh? Did she start speaking to him in a loose manner, my brothers and my sisters? Right? Today, there's not much approaching. There's a lot of sliding in. Sahih? There's a lot of sliding in. We can take a lot of inspiration from this. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْكِ. The immediate response was, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from you. If you are, in kunta taqiyan, if you are a person of taqwa, again here, look, taqwa. Taqwa. We're trying to acquire a taqwa, right? From the month of Ramadan when fasting, also taqwa is mentioned here, then we are told about sawm. In kunta taqiyan, if you are a person of taqwa, stay away from me. This should be your response, my sisters. Huh? He slid in, right? He's trying to talk to you about marriage, this, marriage, that. The guy who wants you in a halal way is not going to creep through the window. He's going to go straight through the door. Take inspiration from Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. A lot of time we talk about, we don't have inspirations. We don't have role models. A similar response, just in case you brother thought that, oh, he's just bashing the sisters, right? Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. When he was locked up in that chamber with the wife of Al-Aziz, he was there serving, right? This lady called or referred to in the Quran as the wife of Al-Aziz. And then she said, hey Talak, let's get it on. She locked all of the doors. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, utiya shatr al-husn, he was gifted with half the beauty of mankind. Where was the other half? I can see a fair share here. Allahumma barik. Utiya shatr al-husn. What was the immediate response when she tried to seduce him, my brothers and my sisters? Huh? Qala ma'adha Allah. He began to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maryam sought refuge from Allah azza wa jal. From the most beneficent, the most merciful, inni a'udhu bir-rahmani mink. His immediate response was, qala ma'adha Allah. إنه ربي أحسن مثواي إنه ربي أحسن مثواي. Different riwayat. He began to remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. Right? The scholars of tafsir, they mention the favors of his master, of how good he was. Because previously Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was inside a well, right? That's where they found him from. He was in the dark pits of a well. And then they found him. Look where he was, now look where he is, growing up in the palace, in one of the most luxurious places on earth at the time. He began to remember the favors of his master, as some of the Mufassirun mentioned. My master done this and he done that for me, X, Y, and Z, so many favors, and now I'm going to go behind his back and cheat on him. Other Mufassirun mentioned, he began to remember the favors of Allah. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now showered him with from where he was before. Right? Anyways, I went off on a little tangent there. But my sisters and my brothers, straight away, when you smell danger, and the moment you're alone with the opposite gender, it doesn't get more dangerous than that. No matter how much you try to make excuses for yourself, she will be my Khadija, huh? He will be my potential, he'll be this, he'll be that. This is not the right way. Stop right there. Especially with the month of Ramadan. Round the corner, my brothers and my sisters, we really, really need to get into gear. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ Right? إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ. Alright? I say right. Sorry guys, my head's not here today. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفْ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. And then he began to run away. He began to run away, my brothers and my sisters. All you brothers especially who keep telling yourself that I'm a tough guy, I can handle the pressure, I can handle being alone with the opposite gender, my brother, stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to yourself, my brother. Allah Azza wa Jal created you weak. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah has created man weak. مَا تَرَكْتُ فِتْنَةً أَضَرُ عَلَى أُمَّتِي مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I have not left a fitna more greater upon men than women. I remember one time I said this in a lecture and a sister started messaging me saying, why are you saying that our existence is a problem? Did I say that, guys? Did I say that? I didn't say that. No, your existence is wonderful. Men need women and vice versa. But you are his fitna. He can't control himself. He's the problem, not you. Right? He's got an issue. Allah created him like that. Man's biggest test is women. So a psalm, going back to what I was saying, my brothers and my sisters, she was extremely terrified when she was given news that she's going to have a child. Right? Of course, in any household, when a sister comes home impregnated, do you think they're going to have good thoughts of her? Huh? She came home pregnant, they never attended the wedding. You think they're going to have good thoughts of her, my brothers and my sisters? Absolutely not. Right? So she was terrified. What am I going to say to my people when they see me having given birth? فَكُلِي وَاشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي. If anyone sees you, O Maryam, she's being told this. فَقُولِي, then say, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا. Indeed, I have taken a vow to do a psalm. I have made a vow to do a psalm. She is now going to do a psalm. Which kind of psalm? فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَا. This psalm was, which he mentioned, is to withhold from something, right? I am going to withhold from speaking. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَا. Right? She would just point to Prophet Jesus, who was in a cradle at the time. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا. How should we, right, speak to a baby that's still inside of the cradle? And then he began to speak to them. إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابُ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. I am indeed a prophet, right? A servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal granted me the book and he made me into a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتَ. And he made me blessed wherever I go. So what does a psalm mean? And I hope you guys are all writing this down. Unless you're like Imam Bukhari, who can take everything in, huh? Then you're good, right? Psalm means to withhold. This is what the linguistic meaning of fasting. We have to do a lot of withholding, my brothers and my sisters. We have to do a lot of withholding. I'm telling you guys, we need to do a psalm from Instagram. Anyone think I'm extreme for saying that? A lot of us need to do a psalm from TikTok. Am I extreme for saying that, my brothers and my sisters? A lot of us, right, have very tweety fingers. We need to do some from that. I'm going to come back to this inshallah ta'ala. So you have the linguistic meaning of psalm. Then you also have the technical meaning of psalm. The technical meaning of psalm, my brothers and my sisters, is imsakun makhsus. To stay away from something specific. Right? To stay away from something specific. But before I mention that, the technical meaning is split into two, brothers and sisters. It is split into two. Number one, that which is going to nullify your fast. And the second compartment is that which is going to destroy your fast. And there's a difference between the two. There are certain things that if you were to consume, it is going to break your fast and you have to make up for it. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Then you have the second type. That which is going to destroy and reduce the reward that you acquire from your fasting in the month of Ramadan. Let's stand over each one. That which is going to break your fast. The definition of this technical meaning of fasting, guys, is imsakul makhsus. في وقت مخصوص من شخص مخصوص في زمان مخصوص بنية مخصوصة. It is to stay away from something specific, from a specific type of individual at a specific time with a specific intention. Anybody got that? Say again. To stay away from something specific. And this something that is specific, which one needs to stay away from, must be carried out by a specific person. Not everyone has to fast, guys. Not everyone has to fast. A woman on her menses, does she need to fast? A person who's traveling, does he have to fast, guys? Right. Someone who's sick, do they need to fast? Depends on the sickness. If you've got like a little pain in your pinky, do you have to fast? Does he have to fast? He was playing football and then he dropped because he couldn't stay on his 2 feet. Huh? He got nutmegged and he dropped. Huh? And then now his pinky's hurting. Does he have to fast, guys? Of course he has. We're talking about a type of sickness or an illness which the fasting is going to intensify his sickness. But that has quite a bit of detail, which we'll speak about maybe another time. من شخص مخصوص في زمان مخصوص. And you only stay away from these things that are going to nullify your fast for a specific time. What are some of the things that you need to stay away from, my brothers and my sisters? That is going to break your fast? Eating, drinking, what else? Huh? Intimacy, good. Sexual intercourse. You have to stay away from that. Hey, brothers and sisters, with me. Sexual intercourse is something that one needs to stay away from. Right? While he's fasting. Not for the full 24 hours. You can go and do whatever he wants after he breaks his fast. Are you guys with me? بِنِيَةٍ مَخْصُوصَةٍ. It has to be done with a specific intention. Why are you fasting? Are you fasting because everyone else is fasting? Because it's the vibe of the moment, right? Everyone's doing it, let me go and do it as well. Huh? This is very, very important, guys. Rectifying the intention before you start fasting. Some people feel, if I don't fast, I'll be the black sheep in the house. I'll be the odd one out. So that's why I'm going to fast. Is this guy doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, guys? Is he doing it because he, as a Muslim, needs to abstain from that which Allah told him to refrain from in the month? Is he doing it because of that? No, he's not. Right? So this is the technical definition of that which is going to nullify your fast. Everyone got that? If I ask you guys, you guys going to be... Some of you guys came to listen to a lecture, right? This is not a lecture, guys. I'm tired of lectures. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to walk away with, bi-idhnillah, God willing, Allah willing, fact, it's a better way to say it, Allah willing, that which is inshallah ta'ala going to better our understanding as to why we are fasting. And then you have the second type, guys, which is going to reduce the reward that one acquires from his fast. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned this. He said, إِذَا صُمْتَ فَلْيَصُمْ سَمْعُكْ وَبَصَرُكْ وَلِسَانُكْ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ وَالْمَآثِمِ. When you fast, make sure your ears are fasting, your eyes are fasting, and your tongue is fasting. From what? From lying, and also what? Sin. All of these three body parts need to be fasting, my brothers and my sisters. Need to withhold from haram. Going back to that question that I posed at the beginning, huh? Sometimes you ask yourself, why is it that I fall into this sin? I want to be someone who is able to hold back. Of course, akhi, my brothers and my sisters, everyone faces this challenge of having to deal with these temptations. Everyone has temptations, my brothers and my sisters. It's not easy to deal with. However, there are people that fall into it straight away. Agreed? And there are those who are able to hold themselves from falling into the sin. And it takes some time to reach that level. This is what we are trying to acquire in the month of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may achieve righteousness. You may achieve a taqwa. What does taqwa mean? Give me any answer other than fear. Because I know every one of you guys wanted to say fear. The English language does not give the Arabic language its true justice. Whenever we hear taqwa, the first thing that comes to mind is fear. It's only a part of it. Who can give me? Huh? Acknowledging your relationship between yourself and Allah. Is that AK thobes that you're wearing, huh? Huh? Or is it afia? I'm wearing afia. Or libah, huh? Libas. We got a lot of thobe company guys here. Hey, tfadal. That was not free promotion, by the way. Cut that out. Hey, tfadal. Sorry, what did you say? Sorry, I just... Huh? Is it put your trust in Allah, huh? Good. He said to put a shield between yourself and that which... This pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh? To be God conscious. Huh? Purifying the soul. Ibn Rajab had one of the best explanations. Tafadhal, you want to say something?
piety.
Good.
All of you guys are not wrong. Somehow what comes in. But Nabil was the closest. Ibn Rajab he said, أَنْ يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَخَافُهُ بِقَايَةٍ تَقِيهُ مِنْ. It is to place a shield between yourself and that which you fear. When you're on the battlefield, my brothers and my sisters, would anyone in his right mind start walking around with his chest open like that? Huh? Would anybody do that, guys? We're not in an MMA boxing ring. Huh? Walking around with your chest open, would anyone in their right mind do that? No, you're going to have a shield to protect your life. Sahih. You have that shield on the battlefield. They're shooting at you. The enemy is there firing away at you, right? You're protecting yourself with the shield. Likewise, to put it into context, the shield that you have between yourself and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know what the shield is? فِعْلُ الطَّاعَاتِ وَاجْتِنَابُ الْمَنْهِيَاتِ. To do what Allah told you to do and to stay away from the things that Allah told you to stay away from. When you make it a habit, my brothers and my sisters, of doing that which Allah told you to do and staying away from the things that Allah told you to stay away from, yes, you're going to fall back into that sin time and time again, but you are doing mujahada with your nafs. You're striving against your soul. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. As Allah says, those who keep striving in our way, those who keep trying, indeed we will guide them to that which is correct. Shaitan whispers, right? Oh, fell into that sin, done it again, there's no hope for you. You might as well, you know what? Continue indulging in your filth and your evil. That's a trap from the shaitan. You're meant to constantly go back and do tawbah to Allah. Ya Allah, forgive me. I slipped up again. I messed up once again, Ya Allah. You think Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to reject you? No. A lot of the time, we, my brothers and my sisters, are the ones that reject themselves. We are the ones that tell ourselves that we can't do it. Allah Azza wa Jal told you to keep striving and keep trying. Does that make sense, my brothers and my sisters? These three body parts, when you work on it, my brothers and my sisters, inshallah ta'ala, you will reach a point that whenever you see yourself being tempted by a particular sin, right? You keep training it, you will see yourself overcoming these struggles. My brothers and my sisters, the month of Ramadan, I look at it like a boot camp, like an induction period. You guys heard of the induction period? When you go to work, does anyone just jump straight into work? You do a 2-week period where you learn how to carry out the trade, sah? Month of Ramadan is no different to that, right? If 11 months of the year is hard to deal with because of all of the temptations, especially in July and August, when the female devils, they come out of their shells. I know it's hard, guys. I don't like driving into London. In Leicester or any of the other cities outside of London, if you want to see fitna, where do you go? You go to the city center. You want to see half-naked women, you go there. In London, you have a high street every 8-9 miles. Agreed? Where they come dressing to impress. Sahih. It's hard, guys, I know. But you work on yourself. In this month, here the shayateen are locked up. Sahih. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُنَا وَسُلْسِلَتْ الشَّيَاطِينَ. When the month of Ramadan kicks in, the shayateen are locked up. Sahih. The doors of Jannah are swung open and the doors of hellfire slam shut. So it's a lot easier to worship Allah. It's an opportunity for you now to continue struggling, but the odds are not stacked up against you, right? Compared to how it usually is. Your brothers is with me. So it's a lot easier. A lot easier. Especially when you see the people around you worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Which you don't normally find outside the month of Ramadan. This is very powerful when you think about it. The man who killed 99 and then he went to the monk
to ask for advice. The man killed 99 guys. 99 guys that he took off the face of this earth. 99. Then he went to seek advice. Is there a way for me to be forgiven? Halli min tawbah? The guy said no to him, so he killed him as well. 100. Didn't stop there. He went and searched for the answer. Eventually, he found a person of knowledge. The person of knowledge, you know, he said to him, انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا فإن بها أناسا يعبدون الله عز فعبد الله معهم. Go to that city there. Leave where you are now. Indeed, there are a group of people who worship Allah. Go and worship Allah with them. Go and worship Allah with them. So when you have a group of people that you worship Allah with, it goes a very, very long way, guys. This is why I'm telling you all, my brothers and my sisters, be around the masajid. Be around a group of brothers and sisters. Sisters for the sisters, brothers for the brothers, huh? For you guys. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Be around a sister. Where do you normally find people, especially in the masjid, guys? Right? So that was just a side benefit. So we understand, month of Ramadan, look, makes it easier in so many different ways. Or it becomes easier in the month of Ramadan in so many different ways. Does that make sense, my brothers and my sisters? Right? It becomes easier to acquire that taqwa that every single one of us need to become better individuals. These three body parts, my brothers and my sisters. I've been telling all the brothers and sisters, and this is something practical that will help all of us. How do we protect these three body parts? When you think about it, a lot of the sins that we fall into, it stems off from these three body parts, right? Agreed? Especially the eyes, let's be honest. Every Ramadan, guys, I'll keep saying this, up until it gets registered. Every Ramadan, someone contacts me having committed a zina in the month of Ramadan. Every Ramadan, guys. Every single Ramadan. What is the expiation? That's what I ask. Right? Where did it all start with? Who can give me a guess? How did it start? Fitnagram. That's where it started. Not lowering your gaze, these innocent glances that one would. One thing leads to another. They didn't know each other before the month of Ramadan, and then in the month of Ramadan, they're committing a zina. That's how they got to know one another, through this app. So you write down, what is it that caused me to sin? You write it down. Right? What is it that caused me to sin? You write down your sins, and then what is it that's causing me now to sin? Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam taught us a very beautiful principle. This principle is, anything that leads you to sin, get rid of it. Did you know, my brothers and my sisters, this is mentioned under the statement of Allah, إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيَّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ. Right? He had finely branded horses and they busied him from the Asr prayer. They busied him from the Asr prayer. So what did he do with all of these horses? Does anyone know? Huh? He slaughtered all of them. Would anyone do that with their Tesla? Anyone do that with their lovely BMW or their Mercedes? Not that I'm saying you have to. Would you put it up for auction? Would you get rid of it? Sell it? That's exactly what Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam done. The point is, it's one thing identifying the problem, it's another finding the solution. He identified the problem. He wasn't in denial. A lot of us, my brothers and my sisters, we're in denial. We don't want to accept that this is a sin. We make 101 excuses for ourselves. Agreed? So you write down the sin, and the next way you write down what is causing the sin, my brothers and my sisters. You guys really want to be serious about changing? Do this, my brothers and my sisters. And make sure you hide it. We don't want your mom walking into your bedroom and then reading all of the sins that you have. Go and lock it up somewhere. Or keep it with yourself. Write down the sins.
what is causing me to sin this way, and then cut that out of your life. I've been telling everyone, wallahi, brothers and sisters, it might well be the time to get rid of these smartphones and to go to the trap phone for a period of time. Wallahi, I'm being dead serious. I know sometimes they start laughing when I say that. I am being dead serious. If this phone is causing you to sin, it might well be that we need to put a psalm on it. Am I being extreme, guys? Sometimes I tell somebody to delete TikTok. I'm hoping, inshallah, all of you guys are going to do it before Ramadan. Otherwise, the British government is going to do that for you anyway, right? Because apparently they want to ban it. They talk to me as if some of these apps that is causing them to sin. Let's be honest, guys. You see five videos of this speaker and that speaker, and then the sixth video is what? Huh? Some 60-year-old guy who's barely wearing anything, huh? Or maybe he's wearing women's clothes, and he's shaking himself. And then right after that is a half-naked woman. Sahih, guys? It's a half-naked woman who's dressed inappropriately. But yeah, you move it away, right? You move it away, but your eyes have already seen it, and it has now pierced into your heart. Sahih? You think that's not going to affect your heart? Wallahi al-azim, it is. One black dot after another after another. We talk as if they have become necessities of life. No, it's not, guys. Let's talk about some of the things, my brothers and my sisters, that is going to break your fast. وهكذا الإمناء والإمذاء بسبب اللمس كذا استمناء. Let's speak about the nitty gritty. That which is extremely interesting to you guys. Unfortunately, many don't actually know, so we have to address it. الإمناء والإمذاء بسبب اللمس كذا استمناء. That which pertains to relieving yourself. Nobody get upset at me for discussing these topics, guys. I think a lot of us all are grown men and grown women. You'll be surprised how often these questions are posed. They're teaching our children that are 3 years or 4 years of age that they can choose their gender. And then someone gets upset at me for discussing these very sensitive issues, right? They're teaching them that you might have parents that are both men and both women. Sahih? That's what they're teaching them. Now they also have these books. What do they call these cartoon books? Huh? Sorry, comics or whatever have you. Where Spider-Man meets Batman, and then they have a relationship, huh? Spider-Man and Batman. And then from a very young age, you've got these very, you know, infant books, where they have two parents of the same gender and whatever have you. And I'm just pointing something out again, just in case we have someone here that works for Channel 4, huh? Ready to take what I say out of context. I'm not inciting violence, I'm just quoting. I'm mentioning what the reality on the ground is. Relieving yourself by way of being touchy. Everyone know what I'm talking about? Relieving yourself in that manner. This is going to nullify your fast. بسبب اللمس. Many don't even know that this is, right, going to break their fast. One says to himself, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Sexual intercourse is something I shouldn't do, but there are other ways that I can relieve myself. 30 days is a long time. That's going to break it. We have this narration. When the Messenger of Allah وسلم, quoted Allah, يَدَعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He leaves off his food and he leaves off his drink and his shahwa, his desires, for my sake. Are you brothers and sisters with me? This individual now who relieves himself by being touchy with himself, has he left off his shahwa while fasting, guys? No, he hasn't. يَدَعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. Likewise, my brothers and my sisters, one gets extremely close with the opposite gender. Whether that lady is halal for him or not, both are being mentioned here. Whether that lady is halal for him or not, they get extremely close with one another, touchy, which leads to him ejaculating. Does it break his fast? Huh? أو باشرة دون الفرج كما نص عليه في الكتب. One gets extremely close and it gets very touchy. We're not talking about sexual intercourse yet, guys. We'll speak about that later. Whether that lady is halal for him or not, does it break it? Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. Some of you guys, my brothers and my sisters, are probably thinking, what's the big deal? I'll break my fast and always make it up later, right? You know, Shaykh al-Islam Taymi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, من أفطر عامدا بغير عذر كان تفويته له من الكبائر. Whoever breaks his fast without a valid excuse, him breaking his fast is from the major sins. A statement that's even more serious than that, my brothers and my sisters, when al-Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, وعند المؤمنين مقرر أن من ترك صوم رمضان بلا عذر أنه شر من الزاني. I never said this, guys. Al-Dhahabi is saying, it has become well established amongst the believers that the one who leaves off fasting in the month of Ramadan without udhur, without a valid excuse, that he is more worse than a fornicator. أنه شر من الزاني. ومدمن الخمر. He is also more worse than someone who is an alcoholic. بل يشكون في إسلامه. Rather, they doubt that individual's Islam. You know, there's a narration, my brothers and my sisters, that scares the living daylight out of me. وعن أبي أمامة الباهلي رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said, I heard the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم say, بينما أنا نائم أتاني رجلان فأخذا بضبعية. While I was sleeping, two people came to me and they grabbed me by my shoulders. They took me by my sides. فَأَتَيَا بِي جَبَلًا وَعْرًا. And they came to me, or they brought me to a very steep mountain. فَقَالَ إِصْعَدْ. They told me to climb. They told me to climb this very steep mountain. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ أَوْ فَقُلْتُ لَهُمَا إِنِّي لَأُطِيقُهُ. I told them, I don't have the ability, it's too hard, it's too steep. They then said to him, فَقَالَ إِنَّا سَنُسَهِّلُهُ عَلَيْكَ. Don't worry, we'll make it easy for you. فَصَعَدْتُ حَتَّى إِذَا كُنْتُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَبَلِ إِذَا أَنَا بِأَصْوَاتٍ شَدِيدَةٍ. So the Messenger started climbing it up until he was at the midpoint of this mountain. And he began to hear very loud noises. قُلْتُ مَا هَذِهِ الْأَصْوَاتِ. What are these noises? قَالُوا هَذَا عُوَاءُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. This is the cries and the sounds of the inhabitants of the hellfire. ثُمَّ انْطَلَقَ بِي. And then we continued walking. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِقَوْمٍ مُعَلِّقِينَ أَوْ مُعَلَّقِينَ بِعَرَاقِي بِهِمْ مُشَقَّقَةِ أَشْدَاقِهِمْ. I saw individuals who had locks on their ankles and there was blood pouring out the corners of their mouths. Blood pouring out. تسيل أشداقهم دما. قال قلت من هؤلاء. I asked, who are they? قال, they said, الذين يفطرون قبل أن ينتهي صومهم. They are the ones who break their fast
before the time has kicked in. All of this for breaking your fast before the time. Some people are mustajil, right? Some people are very quick and hasty. If that's the case, my brothers and my sisters, then how about the person who doesn't even fast? How about the person who doesn't even fast, my brothers and my sisters? So now you take it lightly, I can just break it, right? Huh? You know why? Even while you're fasting, my brothers and my sisters, when in reality you shouldn't have that sexual desire, it shouldn't be intensified the way it is. You know why that's happening? It's because of the things that we're looking at. The things that we continue to lay our eyes on. Right? And then you feel the need to relieve yourself by using your hands or any other body part of yours. Right? Or you may think to yourself, I'm not doing anything with my own hands, so I'll just start getting extremely close with the opposite gender. Perhaps I might be able to relieve myself. The next point, my brothers and sisters, that is going to destroy, or should I say nullify your fast, is takrarun nazar. Continuing your looks at the opposite gender. Whether that lady is halal for you or not. Whether that lady is halal for you or not. You could be sitting there, gazing at your wife, right? Which then leads you to release. Or it could be something haram that you're looking at. You know some of the cases that I get? You get people asking, brother, I know the masturbation is haram. However, someone or something told me that I could look at a lady, adult content, whatever it might be. If I relieve myself like that, then I haven't actually touched myself. Which leads him now to relieve himself. Can it happen? Without a shadow of a doubt. We can put this into three categories, inshallah ta'ala. Looking at the opposite gender. First scenario. He continues to keep looking at her, which leads to him now releasing. Does it break his fast, guys? He's just staring at her. Whether it may be his wife or any other lady, or it could be digitally that he's looking at the opposite gender. Does it break it, guys? What do you guys think? It wasn't just one look. He kept on looking, staring, laying his eyes on that opposite gender. Does it break it? Breaks it. This person, he led it onto himself. Or he brought it onto himself. Second scenario, my brothers and my sisters. And you carry another fayumdi. He keeps looking at the opposite gender, which leads to him now releasing pre-semen, or what they call urethral discharge. You know, when you become sexually aroused, there's a type of discharge that comes out the front private part for both men and women. Right? You've got that kind of discharge, and you also have what? Many, which is what? The semen. This is at the end of being released. The end of when he khalas is done. Are you brothers and sisters with me? We're speaking about the urethral discharge, that which comes out at the time of being sexually aroused. Does it break it? No, it doesn't. Third scenario, guys. He looks once and then he releases. Is this guy normal? Huh? He looks and then, ma ra'yukum? Does it break it? By the way, guys, I never brought out these masail myself. These are in the books of fiqh. Our teacher, Sheikh Saleh Sindi, taught us this in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid. I'm just conveying what I was taught. Hang, guys, just in case you guys think that this guy's a little bit, over the top. He looks and then he relieves himself. This guy needs training, huh? He needs help. What do you guys think? Does it break it? No, he doesn't. And that is because النظرة الأولى معفون عنها. The first look, my brothers and my sisters, the first glance has been forgiven, right? It's been pardoned. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the first glance. He said, Israf basarak. Look away. Right? So the first glance is what? Pardoned. Let's come on to the issue of sexual intercourse. Does it break it? Does it not? Of course it does. Whether that individual ejaculates or not. A lot of people tend to distinguish between, they tend to conflate whether ghusl is wajib upon me or not, and whether I've broken my fast, or whether I should do this or not. Explain this. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, إِذَا جَلَسَ بَيْنَ شُعَبِهَا الْأَرْبَعَ ثُمَّ جَهَدَهَا فَقَدْ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ الْغُسُلُ. If he now sits in between her four body parts and then he penetrates her, the ghusl has become mandatory. Are you promised this with me? If he now penetrates her, whether he releases or not, وَإِن لَمْ يُنزِلْ, even if he doesn't release, guys, does the ghusl become wajib? He has to go and take a purificatory bath. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Whether he's released or not, that's one issue. Another issue, my brothers and my sisters, is having sexual intercourse. Whether that lady is halal for you or not, whether you release or not, this without a shadow of a doubt is going to nullify your fast. Okay? Did you know, my brothers and my sisters, that if a husband and wife, they have sexual intercourse while they are fasting in the month of Ramadan, right? It is from the major sins. Like I said before, after you break your fast, you can go and do whatever you want, as long as halal. While they're fasting, husband and wife, they have sexual intercourse, this is from the major sins. Why? A man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, ihtaraqtu, wa fi riwayatin halaktu, wa fi riwayatin ahlakt. O Messenger of Allah, I've burnt myself in hellfire. O Messenger of Allah, I've destroyed myself. Right? I've destroyed myself. This is what he said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars, they took from this that this is from the major sins. Are you guys with me? If that's between husband and wife, then how about anybody else? Sometimes the sister says, oh, but he wanted it. I remember our Sheikh Saleh Sinni mentioned this in the haram. No, my sister, you need to run away from that guy. He asked for it, it's not good enough. If it means that you put on your hijab and your jilbab and you run out of the house, going to your parents' house, then good. In that scenario, you have the legislated concession. Do that. Are you brothers and sisters with me? My sister, you have to leave. Otherwise, both of you guys have a huge problem on your heads. Man came to the Messenger and he said that to him, right? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, فَهَلْ تَجِدُ مَا تُعْتِقُ رَقَبَهُ. Do you have the ability to free a slave? فَهَلْ تَسْتَطِيعُ فَهَلْ تَجِدُ مَا تُطْعِمُ سِتِينَ مِسْكِينًا. You don't have a slave to free. You know what the next step is? Huh? What's the next step? You have to feed 60 poor people. Well, if you don't have that, only then, guys, it's what? You have to fast 2 months in a row. You have to fast 2 months in a row, guys. Next point that's going to, I'm nearly finished, guys. That which pertains to vomiting. من درعه القيء فلا قضاء عليه ومن استقاف عليه القضاء. The hadith states, whoever unintentionally vomits, no problem. He doesn't need to make it up. He can continue with his fast. However, if you make yourself vomit, it is now going to break it and you would have to make it up. There are two scenarios. How do you make yourself vomit? One gets his fingers and puts it down his throat. That is going to break your fast. Second scenario, my brothers and my sisters, he looks at something that is disgusting. Staring at something that is disgusting, guys. Constantly looking at it. I don't know why you do that, but this is what he's doing. He's looking at something that is disgusting, which leads him now to vomit. That, my brothers and my sisters, is going to break his fast. Last but not least, before the brothers, they're going to make some announcements and then we'll do a Q&A, inshallah ta'ala. Who can give me the signs of having reached puberty? You'll be surprised, guys. It's a very, very common question. Right? What are the signs of having reached the age of puberty? Sorry? Wet dream. وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُمَا أَوْ حُلُمَا. Right? Once you reach, or once you have your wet dream. It's one sign. What's second sign, guys? Pubic hairs. When it appears around your front and back area, or under your armpits. Or under your armpits. Does that make sense, guys? Second scenario. And then the third one. What's the third one, guys? People always say this, voice breaks. What do you guys think? And don't worry, guys. If you get it wrong, We're all learning here. We're all on the same boat. Don't say that loudly. Don't say that loudly. Third one is what, guys? Menstruation, that's for sisters. Good. Well, that which is? When you have? He said when you have attraction for girls, huh? Even 9-year-olds, they have attraction for girls. guys, what's the third? Excellent. When you reach the age of 15. When you reach the age of 15. Abraham says with me. Last masala, sorry. This one's very, very important. I'm hoping the brothers are going to cut this out as a separate clip so I don't have to answer every other day a question coming in. I'm asking me about this. Common question is, why if I'm not praying, can I fast? Ma rayukum? Which one's more important, the fasting or the salah? Without a shadow of a doubt, everyone here says salah. The salah is a lot more important than the fasting. When I've said this in the past, some people online, they got upset. I never said this. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, man tarakaha faqad kafar. The difference between us and them, who's them? Channel 4, just in case, huh? Not inciting hatred or violence or anything like that. The difference between us and them is what? Who's them? The agnostic, the Christian, the Jew, the Hindu, the Buddhist. The difference between us and them is the salah. Man tarakaha faqad kafar. Whoever leaves it off, he has committed kufr. Also, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna bayna shirki wal kufri tark as salah. Between shirk and kufr is leaving of the salah. Also, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq al-Uqayli, he said, كانوا لا يرون شيء من أعمالي تركه كفر غير الصلاة. They never used to see an action that was abandoned to be kufr other than the salah. Did Abu Taymiyyah say anything so far, guys? Many scholars, they hold that individual to have left the fold of Islam if he's not praying. Wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, you know, إِنَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا جَنَّةٍ مَنْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْهَا لَمْ يَدْخُلْ جَنَّةِ الْآخِرَةِ. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah would say, in this world there is a Jannah, there is a paradise. Whoever doesn't enter into this paradise, which is based in this dunya, he won't enter into the paradise of the hereafter. Which paradise are we speaking about, guys? Scholars are different amongst themselves what he intended. Many of them said the salah. Wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, many scholars of the past, when they enter into the salah, it would be like their getaway holiday. You know the kuffar today, the non-Muslims, they have this getaway trip, right? Boys trip, they all get together and they just run away. Sahih? They have that, sahih? It was the salah for many of them, guys. I'm going to share something with you guys, which is very, very private. It's not going to be private after this. When my brother passed away, a lot of you guys know, he was stabbed in the neck. Of course, it's times like this when we really need to put our knowledge into perspective, right? We need to carry out accordingly. What would the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam do whenever he was struck with some difficulty, guys? Where would he run to? Run to the salah. كان إذا حزب أمر فزع إلى صلاة. He would rush to the salah. Wallahi, the salah didn't feel the way it did any other time in my life. I remember my supervisor came up to me and said, I really commend how you're dealing with this. If that was me, I would have probably been drinking alcohol to make myself forget all of these difficulties. I was like, perfect opportunity now to give da'wah. And I explained to them the issue of the salah. They drink to forget, we do dhikr to remember. We have the salah, guys. Right. With all the problems and the difficulties that we have, wallahi, brothers and sisters, just get up and start praying two rak'at. After you made wudu, you freshen up, you go into salah, and then you just spend time in sujood. See how you feel. Away from your phone, get rid of your phone, guys. Just do that, see how you feel. Especially when you're going through difficulties. Right? So I don't know why somebody would leave off the salah, guys. Right? Salah is a lot more important than fasting. It is feared that if one is not praying while fasting, that he is not going to be rewarded for his fast, or he's not even going to be accepted. Right? This is more important. Yes, it's the month of Ramadan. Yes, we want to fast. It's an ibadah that we're not accustomed to. Guys, salah. And what will really, really help you is for you to go to the masjid. Again, that ibadah with the people, as opposed to when you are by yourself. We're going to have to stop there, guys, for a little bit. They want to make an announcement, inshallah ta'ala. Tafadhal, ya akhi. And then we'll take a couple of questions and then we're done. And I'll see you guys, inshallah, in Jannah al-Firdaws al-A'la. Allahu A'lam, we'll see each other again. Flying out, make dua for me, guys, that I come back alive.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to thank our ustad here for such a powerful lecture, where many, many things were said that every single one of us must take in within our day-to-day lives. Alhamdulillah, we're sat here at Kilburn Islamic Center, a masjid that is putting in a lot of effort and a lot of work for the community, for the youth, for the elders, for everything that we can. And it is something that I am very proud of, we are very proud of, to say that it is just the beginning. We are at the very, very beginning of our journey, and the journey is long, inshallah. The masjid is a place where we nurture, we protect, we serve, where relationships are made, where brotherhood and sisterhoods are formed, marriages are completed, from cradle to the grave, where even funeral services are made. Alhamdulillah, the masjid has big, big, massive aspirations, where it plans to do more and more for the community, for everyone, for it to be able to touch everyone's hearts, lives, livelihoods, from initiatives to much more. And alhamdulillah, every single one of us is blessed enough to have an opportunity to get on this journey with the masjid. Every single one of us, from brothers and sisters, from those that are here and those that are online, you can jump and get involved with us today. Alhamdulillah, an initiative has come forward where you don't need to give much, you don't need to donate much, and you don't need to put enough massive efforts. All you have to do is get out your phones today and follow the instructions. If I can ask every single brother, every single sister in the venue and at home or online to get out your phones, please. There will be brothers and sisters walking around. They will have barcodes. If you are on Telegram, then please do click on the link posted on our Telegram chat. For every $1 that you donate, $100 will be given towards the masjid. Now that is a massive, massive, massive amount on the grand scheme of things if every single one of us gets involved. LaunchGood have set an initiative where if you donate $1 on the last 10 nights of Ramadan, which one of them might be Laylatul Qadr, then they will give us $100. On the screen over there, you will see a loop running explaining to you exactly what needs to be done. So all you have to do is follow through. It's as simple as £1. If you want the $1, if you want to give more, you can give more. And if you think about it, that's $10 on the last 10 nights of Ramadan, which is basically £8, for you to do something massive for your community, for a masjid that's working to facilitate and assist all those that it can. The brothers are walking around for you to do the barcodes or for you to scan. So do not turn your backs. Do not stop this khair from going, and be of those who assist, inshallah. We'll give it a few minutes before the ustad carries on, in case anyone has any difficulties, any questions. Brothers and sisters will be walking around, so do sign up, inshallah.
Honestly guys, there's really something about this masjid. I go to a lot of masajid, I really do, as you guys are aware. This masjid really feels different. I don't know, maybe because everything is Quran orientated, right? As you guys can see, this is a high street. I remember the first time when I walked past the masjid, I thought, what is it, a shop or something? Huh? But then you walk in, it's like a whole different world. This is me not doing a charity fundraiser, because I don't normally. I let the brothers do that. Wallahi, the masjid really feels different. Honestly, it does. Inshallah, they'll get it done. Bidnillahi al-Bari. Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakumullah khair. The brothers will be still around while the ustad is carrying on with his dars. The loop will still be on the screen. Those that are online, send whatever you want, any messages, and we'll get back to you, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We'll take five questions from the brothers and five questions from the sister, and then we'll call it a day. Okay, they're setting it up for the sisters now, Slido. And then we'll let you guys know the number for it. On the ground, I'm going to take five questions, inshallah ta'ala. I hope you guys benefited from this lecture. Apologies for those who came wanting an inspiring heart softener. Sorry guys, I'm tired of it. These ahkam we are in need of, and there's a lot more. Inshallah ta'ala, if you do get a chance, watch the lecture on my YouTube channel. It's on the green or on the Green Lane Masjid YouTube channel. It's called The Deeper Meaning to Fasting. It's really going wild online. So please do watch it, inshallah ta'ala. You can take away some benefit from it pertaining to the deeper meaning of fasting. Today was a lot more ahkam, a lot more rulings and guidelines that one needs to be aware of. So five questions from the floor here. May Allah bless you guys. Five questions. Quickly guys, don't ask me any questions as I'm walking out. Sorry? If you go on Slido, you can ask your questions on there. The thing is blueprint. 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 So put your questions through there
And for those who need to leave, may Allah bless you guys. Honestly, for giving up your Friday night and coming to the house of Allah, may Allah Azza wa Jal bless every single one of you guys. Ameen. Anyone here from Camden or Queen's Crescent? QC? Huh? Anyone here from that? No further comment. Huh? They've gone. A question. Hey, brother, you had a question here. You have to? So it's A blueprint, sorry. A for alpha and then blueprint, which was the title of the lecture. Blueprint, right? So A for alpha and then blueprint. A for alpha, A blueprint, A blueprint. Do you have to make up your salah or do you not? Is that what you're asking?
No. How do you know how many salah you have to make up? Because realistically, you wouldn't know.
First and foremost, do you have to make up your salah that you missed throughout Jahiliyyah that you intentionally left off? There are two different views out there, right? There are two different views out there. One of the views is that, and perhaps this is maybe the most stronger one, is that you don't have to make up for them. However, what you do is, number one, you make tawbah to Allah. You repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, you increase in nafal. You increase in your supererogatory voluntary prayers. Is that okay? No, that's what you do. Huh? Do you have to make up again your fasting? Same would apply here. If you left it intentionally, you need to make tawbah to Allah and you should increase in nafal. However, there's another important point. If you forgot to pray or you forgot to fast for whatever reason, when it comes to your forgotten prayers, even if you remember 10 years later, I'll tell you guys, it actually happened to me one time. I remember went to Thought Park. Went to Thought Park and I really wanted to pray. This is many, many, many years ago. I don't think I'll go to Thought Park now. Allahu A'lam. Huh? So went to Thought Park, wanted to pray, and we didn't. Imagine a couple of years after, like, we remember, did we pray that day? Because it was like, you know how they, no, I'm not going to say that word. They call it deja vu, right? No. We came to the exact same place. It was around the exact same time. The time of the salah, and then it's like, huh? So it was like, what, 2 years after? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, من نام عن صلاة أو نسيها. Whoever oversleeps or forgets his prayers, then he has to pray it upon remembering it, even if it is 10 years after. Does that make sense? But if you left it off intentionally, you need to make some sincere tawbah to Allah and you need to increase in your nafal prayer. Yeah, this is the second question, guys, huh? How can I avoid it being a bid'ah? Tayyib, good. So he said, the two units of prayer that you pray when going through difficulties. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would rush to praying whenever he went through some difficulty and hardship. Are there times when you shouldn't pray? Na'am. Before Maghrib, right? And also after Fajr. These two times should be avoided. However, any other time you wanted to get up and you wanted to start praying, by all means, go and do that. This is not a bid'ah. Prophet ﷺ used to do that. Okay, you just get up, make wudu, freshen up, start praying two raka'at. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, it's like your runaway ticket from all of your problems and your hardships. Huh? You know what really helps with khushu', concentration in the prayer? Your khushu' starts in the wudu time. You go for wudu and you're preparing for that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You start that focus at a time of making wudu, concentration.
The adhan is there for a reason, right? Some of us, we rush to the masjid, right? Having just walked out of a war zone at home. Just rushing in. By the time we focus, we're already on the fourth rak'ah. The adhan is there for you to start getting ready. You prepare, go make wudu, right? You're focused, and then you walk into that meeting. You know how you dress up, suited, booted, when you go for a job interview? You're practicing before you go into the interview room, right? And then you're worried, is she gonna stretch out her hand? Do I have to shake it or not? Right? Are you gonna be a Muslim or are you gonna be a Muslimic? Huh? So that's what you're thinking about, what you're gonna say to her, how you're gonna say it, and whatever have you. Right? Look how focused you are, suited and booted. Normally you don't even have a shower, but you have a shower that day. Right? Because you're going for an interview. I'm not trying to compare that lady to Allah Azza wa Jal. But my brothers and my sisters, as the Messenger said, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا قَامَ فِي صَفَإِنَّهُ يُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ. Messenger said, when you stand up for the prayer, you are interacting with your Lord. You are interacting with your Lord. It's an interaction, it's an interview. Right? Think about that for a moment. Yeah? Number three, guys. I hope the sisters are sending in their messages on Slido. Not messages, questions. No messages, huh? So, this is number three now, huh? Please, if you can raise your voice. Do you have the mic? Someone give the brother the mic. Okay, go on, yeah. Wayak. Sorry? Cupping, good. He said, does cupping invalidate your fast? There are two different views here. You have the view of the majority, and then you have the view of the Hanabila. And the Hanbalites are by themselves on this issue. They have an evidence, right? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marra, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marra bil baqi' in baqi', you guys know what baqi' is? Baqi' al-gharqat, which is the graveyard right next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid. And at the time, it was very different to how it is today. And a cupping session was taking place. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Aftar al-hajimu wal-mahjum." The one who's cupping and the one being cupped, both of them have broken their fast. Both of them have broken their fast. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Both of them. There is a lot of discussion. The majority, they took the hadith in Sahih Bukhari. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ihtajama wa sa'im wa ihtajama wa muhrim. He done hijama while he was fasting. Anyways, guys, let's take the safer option, inshallah ta'ala, which is, as much as I would love to go into the intricates and debunking all of the arguments and whatever have you, which one came first, which one came last, and which one's the nasikh, which one, all of that, we're not going to go into it. The safer option is that it's best for you to not do so. Right? Even though, again, there's another about kanu yakrahuna. As someone fil, as Ibrahim Nakhai mentioned, kanu, the companions, they used to dislike the cupping while fasting, min ajli al-da'f, because it would make them weak. Guys, just avoid it while you are fasting. Especially if you know that this is going to affect your fasting, perhaps that's a safer option, inshallah ta'ala. Yeah. Any bad blood donation will invalidate your fast. So if now, can we extrapolate from that it's going to break it? Yeah, so yani, it's not actually connected to whether blood comes out or not. Yani. Actually, let me rephrase that. This issue of fasting, blood is going to come out, right? Blood is going to come out. Whether it comes out or not, any hijamas of different types, does that make sense? So if that person takes the view that it doesn't break it, then, you know, if the blood comes out and he wants to donate it, that's not going to break it, is it? That's the position of the majority that I mentioned. Yeah? How many are we on? Yeah, that was number two, sah? Or was it three? Three. Number four. Oh, that's a controversial question. Huh? When the adhan goes off and you've got food in your hand, so you've got a burger. Huh? Fillet or fish, huh? You've got a burger in your hand. Should you complete it or should you not? This is Sheikh Al-Albani's position. There's a hadith that they take that you should finish whatever is in your aniya, whatever is in on the plate or inside of the utensil, right? Take that and don't over exaggerate, guys. Huh? No. That's number four, last one. Because he's not close to me. Go on.
Can a man pray with his head tied back?
Can a man pray with his head tied back? You need to let it go. You need to let it go. You need to unloosen it. He talked about it being makruh, disliked, which is let it go. Yeah? Go on. What's the best way to memorize Quran? Oh, that's a long answer. Huh? There is a clip I have on my YouTube channel. It's called Memorization Tips. Right? Nabil, we'll quickly check. What was it called again? What was the name of it? Memorization technique, something like that. Type in Abu Taymiyyah, memorizing technique, it should come up. Yeah? There's a very powerful technique there. It's called spaced repetition in English. Spaced repetition. Okay? How many sisters are they? Huh? Just type in, okay, 1 second, let me check quickly, yeah? Naam, it's called a powerful method of memorization. A powerful method of recitation. Is everyone here from around the area? Put your hand up, you came from east. MashaAllah. Put your hand up if you came from... Oh, MashaAllah. Put your hand up if you came from west. South. Allahu Akbar. That was a trick, huh? Anyone here came from outside of London? Oh, mashallah. Where'd you come from? South. Huh? Are you an honest Christian? Hang on. Huh? What do you really want from Allah? Go on. Yeah. Something that you desperately want from Allah Azza wa Jal. That you might be asking Him. I know you might be exposing your du'as here, but anyways, don't tell me, right? There is something that you really want from Allah Azza wa Jal that may not be happening for you, agreed? And you're constantly asking Allah. Look at it this way. Every time I don't, lowering my gaze, me acquiring that which I really want from Allah Azza wa Jal is going to be delayed by another day. The way I look at it is, I would put so much effort into memorizing, learning this and learning that. If I look at something that I shouldn't be looking at, I'm going to end up forgetting something. That's how I look at it. Because the sins that we fall in, it has an effect. Are you with me? Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever comes with a taqwa, Allah will give him a way out. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will provide for him from where he doesn't expect. That's if you have that God consciousness of Allah جَلَّ فِي عُلَى. That's how, inshaAllah ta'ala, you can look at some of these sins that we keep falling into. Oh, I just done it again. Up until you end up getting tired and you'll be left with no choice except to push yourself even more. Yeah? They probably send 100 questions, huh? said, enjoy. People keep mentioning you can go to the masjid to get married. What is the actual process? Example at Kilburn Islamic Center. What do I need to do exactly? The Sheikh said you need to go online. Where can I get a scarf like yours? Is that from a sister? Apparently Abu Taymiyyah dresses more modestly than some sisters. Allahu A'lam. People comment that online. My head's covered, huh? Can I read the Quran whilst on my menses on my phone in order to complete it during Ramadan? No. However, there's so much more that you could do, inshallah ta'ala. You know, in the Green Lane lecture that I delivered the other day, right at the end, maybe the last 10 minutes or so, I talked about many of the things that a woman on her menses can do. I spoke a lot about what a woman on her menses can do. And remember, my sister, if you stop reading Quran because of something that is out of your control, you're still going to get the reward for it. You are still going to get the reward for it. The Messenger said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ. If one becomes sick or he travels, he gets the same reward, huh, of what he used to do before his sickness. And the same applies here as well. If you committed zina last Ramadan before you started taking deen seriously, do you need to fast 2 months to make up for it now? Or is making tawbah sufficient? Allah is a good question. I think I just want to check it. How can I remove anger and sadness in my heart towards someone who's hurt me in Ramadan? What was the khutbah about today for those who attended? What was the khutbah about? Let it go. Inshallah ta'ala, it's on the YouTube channel of the masjid. We'll get it uploaded onto my channel as well. Bidnillahi ta'ala. Pick up that phone, make that call, my sister. Step on the ego and bite the tongue. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَخَيْرُهُمَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ بِالسَّلَامِ. The best of the two is the one who starts with the salam. You fell out with one another, you feel hurt. Wallahi al-azim, my brothers and my sisters. You want your heart to feel almost instantly, immediately soft. Pick up that phone, guys. Pick up that phone and see how you feel almost instantly after that. Does listening to music invalidate your fast? No, it doesn't, but it reduces from your world up until you're left with nothing. And we'll stop there inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jal honor every single one of you guys for coming, for taking the time out. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he doesn't reunite us in this dunya, to reunite us in the highest part of Al-Jannah. It's always a pleasure coming here. I want to thank the administration of the masjid, who are always kind to invite me over to deliver these programs. May Allah bless you all. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت